will. Lord, we thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been given this morning. Father, we pray a blessing upon them, that you would multiply them and that the board of directors would allocate them with your guidance, Lord, according to your will, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the house, and you know, we're glad when funds come in, but that's not our emphasis. You know, we want to further God's kingdom whichever way it's available, and so don't think that, you know, it's all about the funds. I'm so glad that we have people here that always uses those activities to glorify the Lord and increase fellowship and those kind of things. And I was going to mention something, and now it just slipped. What was it? Well, I'm not going to preach today. I guess that's one thing. What? Yeah. My wife is going to minister today. She's an awesome preacher of the word, so I'll let her be used of the Lord to increase our...
And you remember, just go like this. It's okay, just like it happened in the house. All right, God is so good. Are you excited? It's in the air. Christmas is coming, right? We're getting ready. I just pray you don't get too overwhelmed, right? And forget and notice the little things that are the key and the most important thing that we're celebrating, right? We know that Jesus was not born December 25th, right? But kind of around it, we have chosen that day to recognize that our Savior was born. Amen. And so because we recognize that, then we're celebrating with everything. And that's why we put lights. And that's why we put Christmas tree. No, we do not bow down to Christmas trees. They're just to look pretty. Amen. And to bring joy. Amen. And so I just want to thank the center. It looks wonderful, doesn't it? Belinda and Matthew and Jennifer just work, put the hands to the plow. That was a beautiful surprise to walk in and see all the beautiful decorations. So thank the Lord for that. All right, so let's get to the word, because then I start talking too fast and you're going like, wait, she skipped it. Well, where's she going? Oh, whoa. Okay, so let's start. Father, we thank you so much for your word and your Holy Spirit, what you're doing in our midst. And Father, because of the season, Lord, it's the season to be jolly. It's the season to remember our loved ones and remember all those that are around us. And it's a good season, Lord. Help us, Father, to enjoy and to never, never forget what's important, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray for peace and a release of your Spirit to calm us down. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all go to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And it's a story that the Lord took me, and I'm just going to bring a little spin to it, but it's one of my favorite story. I don't know if you have heard of it, so I'm going to start talking a little bit, and then we will go right in to see the key points that you're going to take home this week and put it to practice right away, right? Because the Lord wants to bring nuggets of gold. When we receive something good, right? When we go to a service and we receive something, it's rhema to you. You need to take that home, and then you need to put it to practice. Amen? So it's my prayer that you will. All of us will do it as I finish to preach. I like that word, right? because I jump over. So the situation here is David and his warriors, his mighty man of valor, his soldiers, were in this land, and they were camping. And as they were camping, they were protecting some shepherds in the land of a man named Nabal. And as long as King David and his men were there, they were protected. As long as the presence of King David and his soldiers were around in the surroundings and all that, the shepherds didn't have to fear anything. Sound familiar? As long as the presence of the Lord is around, we have nothing to fear. Now they start getting hungry, and there's where we're going to go, chapter 25:5. Say, David sent 10 young men out of all the men he had. He sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. It was an awesome greeting, wasn't it? Peace. Very humble greeting. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them. Nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes. For we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servant and to your son David. So they're very humble asking. They're hungry. And they're asking in a very nice way, don't you think? Whatever. They weren't even demanding. They were just asking. 9. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is this David? First of all, that's kind of a lie because he knew who David was. But who is this David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. There's always an excuse, right? So he's looking, he's hunting for an excuse to deny the little bit that they're asking. 11, shall I then take my bread and my water, mine, and my meat? Wow, it's mine. That I have killed from my shears and give it to the men when I do not know where they are from? Again, it's an excuse. David's been there with his man for a long time, and they've been protected. So he's gone with that excuse. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, poor thing. They went back hungry and empty. And they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, every man girl on his sword. So every man girl on his sword, and David also girl on his sword, and about 400 men. Wow. No more 10. Now it's 400. With David and 200 stayed with the supply. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail, wow, made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheep of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisin, wow, and 200 cakes of fig, and loaded them on the donkeys. And she said to her servant, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as they rode on the donkey that she went down under cover on the hill, and there were David and his men coming down towards her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning night." Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "Oh me, my Lord, oh me, let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." Quite a story. Nabal was doing wrong. He's in sin. He denied what he shouldn't deny. But then someone stepped in, his wife stepped in. Not only she steps in, she doesn't come empty-handed. It's what we call, she came and intercede. And she came humble. And she prepared a banquet before them, not knowing whether King David was going to run over her or not. Notice that she didn't stay bashing her husband. She did something. She got wisdom. And she intercede. And she cried out for the sin of her husband. And she asked God to forgive. Where are the intercessors? We need to intercede. When was the last time that somebody was in sin that you love, that you care, and you saw them falling down in sin? What was that attitude? Was it one to judge? Did we judge? Did we ignore it? Did we turn around? Or do we step into that person that is sinning, that person that is wrong? Do we enter in and intercede with everything? Do we humble ourselves and we cry out to God? When was the last time that we did that? When was the last time that when my brother or my sister, my husband, my children are in sin, did I get all so discouraged? Did I start judging? Do I start talking with somebody else instead of really, truly, truly, truly humbling myself and saying, "Mercy. Have mercy." You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus intercedes for us daily, even to this day. We are the body of Christ. And I'm here to tell you that we need to wake up a little bit. Because you see, when I sin, and we all do, right? I would like somebody to come and intercede in behalf of me and come and say mercy instead of what? Judgment. Oh, it's very easy to judge one another, isn't it? You see somebody down, and instead of lifting them up and instead of talking and interceding to the Father and say, "Yes, Lord, they are in a bad place. But you, God, have mercy." And that's what I want to bring to you this morning. Christmas is around the corner. We have loved ones and family that we're not even talking to. We have loved ones and friends that if they die today, we doubt that they will make it to heaven. What are we doing about it? We got brothers and sisters in the Lord that once were on fire for God, and all of a sudden they are in sin. What are we doing? Are we us four no more? Are we taking it upon us just like Abigail did She interceded. She laid it all aside. Well, the Bible tells us it's a good ending in the sense that David listened to what she said. Now listen how she prayed. Listen how she addressed David. How humble. When was the last time that we humble ourselves in behalf of someone that is in sin? Not a, just a casual, oh Lord, save the unsaved. You know, one time I was praying like that some years ago. Oh Lord, save so and so. And I felt that the Lord was saying, I already did. It's up to them to come. So you need to shift your prayers, isn't it? It's not, let them be saved. It's, Lord, open their understanding. Or, you know, it's intercession is what we need. It's a heartfelt prayer. It's not, oh, just bless us for no more, Lord. Thank you. You see, the way things are going, more and more we're losing people that once knew the Lord and work and walk strong in the Lord, and all of a sudden they're entangled with the affairs of the world. What do we do? What do we do? Abigail didn't go to her husband, didn't stay home sitting down feeling sorry for herself. She did something about it. She did something wonderful about it. She used wisdom, humbleness, and prayer. 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord live and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held your back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant. She took it personally, didn't? When was the last time that you took personally the sins of your brother and sister? We have sinned, Lord. I am so sorry. You see, you're interceding. You're in between that person and the Lord. And guess what? He will listen to you. You can go down. You can be driving. A man can be driving. And you can be interceding and praying for someone that you found out is not living right. Have problems with addiction or have problems with whatever, right? The list go on and on. When's the last time you say, Lord, I lift up and lift the name and intercede and pray? She did that. And not only that, as she did that, then she even declared what the will of God was on David. If you continue to pray, to read, you will see it. She declared what God's will was in David's life. Wow. You see, while you intercede and you pray from your heart, and you cry out for the soul of someone, then when you need it, I'm here to tell you, somebody is going to be interceding for you. Could it be that the church is still so weak? Because the body of Christ doesn't have this concept. Men can be driving down. You can be driving down in the morning. And whoever the Lord puts in your mind, you need to pray. Because, you know, we can find out about the faults of everyone for some reason. It's like news, isn't it? Doesn't have to be in Facebook. Oh, do you know so-and-so? Do you know so-and-so? Which, by the way, that's a sin too, right? But when we find out, what do we do with it? When you're so upset with your husband or your wife because they're not doing things right, how much are you interceding and praying? You see, Abigail was not the only one that did that. Okay? We see Moses, Exodus 32. Moses, which was the most humble man that ever lived. And this is what one of the scripture why. 32:9. God is upset with the Israelite people. They keep on sinning over and over and over. And then God tells Moses, step aside, because these people are so rebellious, right? Just step aside, and I'm going to destroy all of them. Woohoo, yes. Do we go to the side and say, yes, destroy them? Oh, you're going to start a new nation with me? Wow, yeah, that would be great. Remember, it's Moses, the one they're giving him the hardest time too. They're murmuring, complaining to Moses all the time. Moses is not having it easy. That's why he was so humble, because instead, what does Moses do? Does Moses charm in, even though it's God saying it? Go get them, Lord. Have you watched your prayers sometime? Expose them, Lord. They're in sin. But let them have it. Watch your prayers. That doesn't sound like an intercession to me. A humble. 32:10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath, this is God talking, may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And then Moses come in and say, then Moses plead with the Lord his God and say, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Wow. Mercy. Yes, Lord, they're in sin. Yes, Lord, they're talking without thinking. Yes, Lord, they hurt my feeling. Yes, Lord, they're doing things they shouldn't. They're drinking too much, or they're whatever. Again, the list goes on and on. What is our attitude? Is it to plead? Or is it to say, go get them, Lord? Moses says, mercy. Mercy, what are they going to say? You brought them out and they're going to die. I mean, he stood there and let down an awesome offer to start all over with him. Doesn't that sound great? And yet he pleaded the case. What is my message today for you? You need to start pleading cases a little bit more for those that are in sin, because things are getting tight and things are getting harsh. And if you need deliverance and you need breakthrough in your life, breakthrough starts with how many seeds are you planting and interceding for somebody else? When you get off yourself. You see, for Moses, it was more headache that they would stay alive, that if God would have destroyed them. And yet, he plead, Lord, don't. Now we plead for that which we care, don't we? Don't we cry at night? When was the last time that you cried for the soul of a friend or a family that you know that if they die today, they're not going to heaven? I don't know about you, but that is harsh. Yes, but when am I going to pray? Well, you can pray all the time. When you start folding clothes, when vacuuming, that's good. It's loud enough. You can even scream at the devil. It's finding time to intercede and pray and not be so selfish. Sometimes we're going through chaos and traumas, and the last thing we remember is to pray together out loud. Out loud, yes, out loud. The Bible says if we speak, right? We got to declare. We say all kinds of stuff out loud that we shouldn't when we're upset. I mean, we let everybody know when we're upset. How about when we're crying out to God? Crying out to the Lord and interceding like never before. Somebody else intercede too. Abraham. Another one. Genesis 18:23. Abraham, a friend of God. Abraham, Father Abraham, we sing it, the children love it, sing it. He was a mighty man. God comes in, sends some angels, and they start talking. And so they come near Abraham. And they inform to him that are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, let me tell you, the sin in those places were horrendous. There was sin. Bad. Going on. 1822. Then the men turned away, the angels that came and visit Abraham from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. One of them was the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you destroy them? Righteous with the wicked? You see, intercession started, didn't it? Instead of, yeah, go get them. They're bad. They're a bad city. Bad city. Go get him. Get him, Lord. It's about time. Oh, they do all kinds of things. What does he do? He turns in and he starts interceding. Would you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Would you have mercy? How about if there's 50? This conversation is awesome. And the Lord say, no, if there's 50 righteous, I won't. Oh, okay. How about 40? He said, if there's 40 righteous people, I won't do it. He's still interceding. Abraham is still pleading for people that are in sin. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not interceding and praying for the things you want or the things we think we should have. This is an intercession that I believe the Spirit of the Lord is calling the body of Christ to do in behalf of the sinner. It's going to take a little bit more. How about 30? How about 20, Lord? And then at the end, he said, Lord, he even said, don't get upset with me. You see, here's Abraham, what? Interceding. He's not giving up, although he did. Because he stopped at what? 10. And God say, if there are 10 righteous ones, I will not destroy the city. Abraham say, let me see, is my nephew Lot, his wife, surely there's got to be at least 10 righteous. We know the story, right? There were not even 10. And he stopped at 10. I wonder sometime if he would have stopped at 5, 2, would the city be spared? You never know. That's why we don't stop. And then ultimately, the one that intercedes for all of us, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The one that was in the cross, suffering. They had spat on him, pulled his beard, put a crown of thorn for you and me. And as he is hanging there, what does he say? Does he call his angels to come and get him out? What does our Lord and Savior does? He say, Lord, forgive them. You think they were sinners, the one that crucified my Lord? Do you think they deserve mercy? But Jesus is suffering there. What does he say? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And guess what? Guess what? That sin was forgiven. Because Jesus asked. So when was the last time that you intercede for your enemy? Or one that wronged you and say, Lord, forgive them. Ow. Forgive them. They really don't. She just insulted me. When was the last time that you say, Lord, I'm interceding that you're going to change their heart. You're going to touch them, Lord. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to release them. And I can't do it on my own. But you, God, you can. You can do it. You can help them out. In Ezekiel 22:30 says, so I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I shall not destroy it. But I found no one. Now that's sad. I think that's sad. So Christmas is coming. It's time to make the record right. Will you intercede? Well, again, for that person that you know right now is living in sin. Will you cry out to God? Or will you ignore it? Or judge it? Or be indifferent? I got good news to tell you. As you step in and intercede, someone will step in and intercede for you or your loved ones. You see, for some of us that have children, you never know when they need somebody interceding for them. Somebody did for me, I'm sure. The Bible tells us that curses goes to the third and fourth generation, right? A blessing goes how far? 1,000. Someone prayed for me to be in the kingdom. Someone prayed for me at my deliverance. Somebody prayed for me for my forgiveness. Oh, that the body of Christ would turn into the body of Christ. Truly, truly. Amen? So you're going to make a list in this Christmas. And it's not what you want under the tree. You're going to write a list of the people that God is going to put in your heart to pray. Listen, if you can sit down for 2 hours and watch a game, a ball that keep on going from one side to another, and it's so aggravating because it doesn't hit the goal. And then when it hit the goal, they all go, oh, crazy. I'll go too. Finally, is what I said. And you can sit there and you can watch that. And you can get all, I mean, you don't even know what you're eating. You're so engrossed with it. You can intercede. You can intercede. Yes, for your enemy. You know, Jesus say, pray for your enemy. That doesn't mean that God wants to punish you. Think about it. I have an enemy, and God is asking me to pray. How easy is that? It's not, but I'm telling you why. I promise you, I have lived it. The more you pray for that person, the better your heart gets. The easier it is to forgive, and the easier it is to relieve, and the easier it is to live for him. Jesus didn't say it for your enemy. He said it for you and me. He wants us to be healed. So going back to the naughty list, you're going to write down there those that you need to intercede, and then watch the miracle. Amen? Watch the miracle. Watch them coming to the Lord. Watch them coming on Christmas. Watch them coming and apologizing to you. How about that? Watch them coming with joy. There's no greater joy. This will be the best Christmas ever. Lord, give me a spirit of intercession. Now, Jesus is interceding for us. You're interceding for who? And I'll tell you what, when you take the time you will feel the pain that that person is going when you take the time. You will start praying, and you will be overwhelmed because the Spirit of the Lord will allow you to feel what that person is feeling, going through what that person is going. And instead of complaining and talking about one another, we're just going to lift it up before the Lord for mercy. Amen? We want mercy. We want grace. We do not want judgment. Believe me, you do not want judgment. I don't want judgment for my enemies. I want to pray for them. For the joy of the Lord will be my strength. You see, Daniel prayed, and when he prayed, he owned the sin. For we have sinned, Daniel said. Not him. He personally didn't sin. But you see, you take it personally, and you allow the Lord to work. Amen. Let's all stand. On Sunday night, we come and pray. We lift up the city, we lift up the state, we lift up the government. Instead of complaining on how bad the government, when was the last time that you intercede for the White House? And cry out to God. In my refrigerator, I have a picture of the governor of Florida with his wife and the children. So I put it right there so I won't forget. So I even lay hands on it and pray. Because the Bible tells us to pray for those that are in government so we can live a what? A peaceful life. So what has come out of your mouth? Have you criticized the government to no end, or are you interceding? Lord, have mercy. Not in a sarcastic way, a heartfelt. Lord, give him wisdom. Lord, give him health. Lord, protect them. Protect the children. Lord, don't let him be deceived. You see, that's intercession. Oh, Father, wake him up. Surround him by good people. Because if he fails, we all suffer. Amen? If the government fail, we all gonna suffer. So you're planting the seed. Amen? So you intercede for one another. When someone comes and tells you something ugly that they have done, sin, that is one more thing you have to intercede and to pray. If they are falling prey of Satan, then somebody needs to do the warfare. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that you bring this to our mind. And Father, that you help us remember that you have called us to intercede and to ask for mercy and grace. Lord, forgive us for the time that we judge one another, for the time that we criticize one another instead of lifting up one another and crying out to you for mercy and grace, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your people. I bless your people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you bring this message to them through the week. And Father, while they're doing their thing, that person or the enemies that they may have or situation they may be going, that they truly, truly pray and intercede, Father. And Lord, I know we're going to see breakthrough and unity and peace. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. And if anybody needs prayer, we're here. We can pray with you. If not,